Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Valerie Welch Ministries. Thank you for joining me for another Thursday night ministry segment. I am delighted that you have stopped by tonight to hear a word from on high. Whether you listen to this message live or whether you download the segment, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you for taking the time to hear what the Spirit is saying and to stop by to visit us on Thursday nights. I take it not lightly nor for granted. You could be doing anything else, but you stop by here tonight to hear a word from on high. Well, you know how we do it. Before we go into the Word of God, let us first go to the throne of grace. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that has gone before me. Father, I thank you for helping me to articulate this word tonight, Father God. Help me to lift it off the pages. Help me to institute it, Father God, in the hearts of man, Father. Not just the mind, Father God, but the heart, Father God. Father, we just thank you tonight, Father God, for those that are listening and those that will download this message. Father, you always tell me to let them know that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, we thank you, Father God, for this word, that it will be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their pathway. We thank you, Father God, that it will illuminate some places in their lives, Father God, and give them divine instruction and wisdom on what to do, when to do, and how to do it. Lord, we bless you tonight for this word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and we bless God. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is probably something that you have heard before, probably a message similar to this. But God actually wanted to stop by tonight and remind you concerning the storms of life. The storms of life. The message tonight is entitled, I was listening to worship music all day at work. And when I left work day, it was going over and over and over in my head. I told the storm. You all know that song. It talks about I told the storm. So God said, well, tonight you tell them about the storm. Because guess what, my brothers and sisters, whether we like it or not, storms will arise in our lives. There's no question about it, but I've got to ask you a question. So if God told us in his word that trials and tribulations we shall have, he said he would deliver us out of them all, why is it that we are so surprised when the storms of life arise? Why are we seen to be taken aback or caught off guard when the storms of life arise? Did not the Father tell us this? So if this is the case, why does it seem like some of us have no clue what to do when the storm arises? Well, let me help you understand first. Let's set a baseline. Let's set a foundation. Let me help you understand that there are three primary reasons for trial. It's either God being himself, whom he is. He is the potter, and he's shaping and molding his clay. And sometimes he does this through trials and tribulations. Maybe we are stagnant in an area, or maybe God is trying to get us to a place or a certain mentality or a certain maturity. So therefore, a trial or tribulation he may use. He doesn't always use the same thing. Now, let me not digress, but as you understand that even when Jesus healed, he healed the same disease, but he healed it different ways. So God is not always using trials and tribulations to shape and to form and to shift his creation, but he sometimes uses this mechanism. That's one way. The other way is that the enemy, because we have opened a door of sin in our lives, now the enemy has petitioned God and said, now look, God, see, Valerie has done such and such and such, so you know, being a just and lawful God, I have a legal right to go and mess with her because she has opened the doorway. So therefore, Satan begins his little rampage and whatever, trying to aggravate us, mess with us, trying to oppress us, trying to depress us, trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and all those sorts of things. This is what trials and tribulations come, my brothers and sisters. Those are the primary two. That's the two I'm going to focus on, not even the third one. Those are the primary two, God, Satan, and sin. God, Satan, and sin. So let me, that's the reason trials sometimes enter and come into our lives, because we have played on his turf, and now he's saying, okay, you want to play in my turf, let me let you know who you messing with. But tonight I want to spend this precious time with you talking about the enemy. I don't want to do that. I want to talk to you about what to do when the storms of life arise. Like it or not, we will all have them, but what do we do about it? Do we run and tell everybody about what's going on? Do we run and cower and hide from the world? Do we go on and lean on some believer we think is more stronger than us? And the list can go on and on. But to tell you the truth, we may just have done one or two or maybe all of those things when trials and tribulations happen. You know, we are human, and we're looking for solace. We're looking for comfort. We're looking for wisdom. We're looking for knowledge. After all, the word did tell us to seek the elders of the church. There's an illness, or even just the wisdom of an elder when there's an issue that's going on that we don't understand and we need help. So we may have done all of those things. But let me ask you this. How do you prepare for the unforeseen? How do you prepare for the unknown? I happen to work in the insurance industry, and so, you know, there are certain risks that they know that are going to happen, so they try to prepare for them. But guess what? You never know the amount of what the loss is going to be. You never know when it will take place. You don't really know the circumstances surrounding. All you can do is give a base guideline that if this should happen, we would cover it. Okay. So in the natural, there are things called storms in the natural, storms like hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. You know, some of them have thunder and some of them have lightning. Some can have ice and some can have snow. These are catastrophic events that happen. We never know when they will happen. We just know they're going to happen. This is the same way it operates for us. The storms of life. The storms of life, no, they don't come in snow and ice and sleet and hurricanes and earthquakes. No, they come in the form of finances, relationships, health issues, career, job. It comes in those things. Those are the primary things that affect us. This is where our storms come, because they're going to come. They're going to affect one aspect of our lives or another, but what do you do when it comes? Because it's coming, my brothers and sisters, it's coming. I want to set the foundation to stop being so shocked, stop being so surprised when the trial comes. Are you continuing to see the same trial? Are you passing the test, or, you know, you just get a little reprieve, and then the next thing you know, it's coming back again? Are you passing the test? Because what's happening is that we're reliving tests over and over again, because the enemy evidently sees when he's doing something, he evidently sees, I know how to get her, or I know how to get him. Because when I do this, they do that. They do that all the time. And they say they love this so-called Jesus. And they say they go to church and they hoop and they holler and they do all these sorts of things. But when the rubber meets the road, what do they really do when they are on trial? What do they do when a circumstance and situation comes that's trying to take them out? What do they really do when the unforeseen happens? What do they do when the storm comes? What do they do? I'm going to read you a little small text of what sometimes happens when the storm comes. Go with me to Luke chapter 8, verse 23 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Glory to God. And let me get it as well. Hallelujah. I did have it, so but let me bring it back up again. Luke, you go ahead and get your Bible, Luke 8, 23 through 25. Amen? If you have it, say amen. Glory to God. And the scripture reads as thus, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But afterwards he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Now, that was the King James Version. Now, sometimes I like to go to the Message Bible. So let's just read what the Message Bible has to say concerning Luke 8, verses 23 to 25. And it says, One day he and his disciples got in a boat. Let's cross the lake, he said, and off they went. It was smooth sailing, and he fell asleep. A terrific storm came up, and suddenly on the lake water poured in, and they were about to capsize. They woke Jesus, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Getting to his feet, he told the wind, Silence, and the waves, Quiet down. They did it. The lake became smooth as glass. Then he said to his disciples, Why can't you trust me? They were in absolute awe, staggering and stammering. Who is this anyway? He calls out to the winds and the sea, and they do what he tells them. That is just one example and a primary example of what Jesus did when the storm arose. Now, I've taught on this before, but as a little side note, sometimes we get it confused that when the storms in our life come, we believe Jesus has left us, he's forsaken us, he's gone somewhere else. But as you can see right here, it was Jesus who made the suggestion, come, and he's talking to the disciples, come, let us go to the other side. Jesus was on the boat with them, and the storm came anyway. So my brothers and sisters, please understand that just because you are going through a trial, a tribulation, a storm in your life does not mean God is not with you. It does not mean that God has forsaken you, and it does not mean that you are going through it alone. Jesus was on the boat with the disciples. Jesus is on the boat with you during your storm. Now, what are you going to do about it, knowing that you have the Messiah in your corner? What are you going to do about it? All of this word that we get Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday, all of this word, now the storm is here. What will you do when the storm arises? Are you going to be like the disciples who they forgot all about who had been teaching them? Now remember, Jesus has been teaching the disciples. He's been instructing them. He's been giving them, teaching them parables and prayer and everything. And so are we going to just forget everything that Jesus has said in his word and that God has downloaded in your spirit when the crisis gets here? We're just going to run and scatter and say, Lord, Lord, is that what we're going to do? No, we're not. And no, you are not. Whatever storm you're going through tonight, you're going to speak to that thing because that's what the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus tells us to do. Did he not say, speak to your mountain? We just like to lightly gloss over things. They said it must be something else to this thing. We've made God so complicated. We've made it, you know, just so confusing and this and that and this and that. All he said to do, my brother and sister, is speak to the mountain. All he said, my brother and sister, is that all you got to have is a faith of a mustard seed. He didn't say you had to have a faith of a cantaloupe. He didn't say you had to have a faith of a basketball. He said, all you have to do is have the faith of a mustard seed, and I need you to speak to your mountain. Speak to your mountain. These two things go hand in hand. You can't speak it and don't have faith. You can't speak it, but then you're fearful in your heart. You've got to speak it and you've got to believe it. That is your faith in action. We're not talking about name it and claim it. No, we're talking about your faith. And your words are in agreement. Your faith and your words are in agreement that will manifest that which you are speaking to. Do you hear what I'm saying? what you're saying and your faith, when they are in alignment and in agreement, they will manifest that mountain that you are speaking to. It has to dissolve. Because God is a man that he cannot lie, nor the son of man that he has to repent. What God says shall come to pass. That's all we've got to say. If you just stop right there, once you have the knowledge of Christ, do you think it not? Why do you think that Genesis opens up with God creating the world, not with his hands? He's not creating his world with anything else. He spoke it into existence. That's what he did. Now, if he created us as little lower than the angels, how come we're not operating along the same vein that he has directed us to? How come, my brothers and sisters? You know, in the natural, let's just take it, go to the natural for a minute. In the natural, prior to having, you know how we just had these catastrophic events, either we had them or they were being forecasted, telling us that, you know, there was a great snowstorm that was coming that was going to demolish the record of since 1950, 28 inches up north. We just recently heard those news reports. We've been here having earthquakes in places that never have had earthquakes before. We've been having hurricanes. We've been having tornadoes. So how is it that they are preparing, or how is it they are trying to deter, offset, or prepare for the cataclysmic event? How is it that in the natural, the weather people are preparing for this? They're purchasing new instruments. They're getting the cutting-edge technology. They're getting instruments that should be able to forecast the weather days at a time. They're monitoring the air pressure. They're monitoring the wind. They're monitoring the atmosphere. They're monitoring humidity. They're monitoring all sorts of things. They're monitoring things to try to get a glimpse into when this event will hit. That's how serious the 6 o'clock news and the 10 and 11 o'clock news takes their business when it comes to trying to give us the weather. How serious are you in God's face trying to get knowledge and wisdom and understanding to prepare for the event that is actionable, that is inevitably going to happen? Are we in God's face, my brothers and sisters? Are we seeking him like never before? Are we laying prostrate before God? And God says, I'll give you the warning comes before the storm. That's his word. The warning comes before the storm. Do you not think that God would give you, my brother and sister, a warning before the storm hits, and he will give you the exact prescription, the exact formula to demolish that storm? See, many of us just want to deal with a little rain. That's what we want to do. We want to deal with rain because guess what? Well, when rain comes, we just whip out the umbrella. That's all we have to do. But when a hurricane comes, or a storm of a sizable magnitude comes, you never know where Hurricane Sheila is going to land. They're saying she's coming inward, but she switched here. Oh, no, she's going to Florida. No, she's going to the Caribbean. You never know where she's going to land. So how do you prepare for an event like that? You get in God's face and you speak to your storm. You speak to your mountain. Don't say it can't be done. Because we have ancestors, we have brothers and sisters in the Bible, we have prophets who have called down fire, we have prophets that have dried up things, we have prophets that have called water down. So come on, somebody, you've got to understand the authority that you walk in. You've got to understand the power that God has given you, his seed, his child, his son, his daughter. He said, I made you just a little lower than the angels. Did he not say that? Didn't he say, he said, greater works shall we do. So why are we not operating in them? This is what he's saying. Help their unbelief. Help their unbelief. That's what we are tonight, my brothers and sisters. That is where we are. We say we believe, We say you have the power and the authority. We say we belong to the Most High God. But where is the manifestation? Where is the manifestation when we can't even get rid of a little headache? So if we can't deal with a headache, how are we going to deal with cancer? If we can't deal with a headache, how are we going to deal with HIV and AIDS? Come on, somebody. He spoke to the storm. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. I need you to speak to your mountain. I need you to speak it. And I'm not saying that the flesh doesn't get weak, because we have an example of that. We have an example, and God said, he described him as a man of his own heart, which is David. But if you read throughout the Psalms, David had some issues. David was sad. David was on the run for years. He didn't understand, and he would cry out to God and say, why didn't you just let me die to put me through this? But at the end, it was basically like, nevertheless, I am more than a conqueror through you. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. And then he will remind God of who he was. And then reminding God who he was, he remembered who he was in God. Ha, come on, somebody. So I'm not saying that we got to walk around here like nothing is wrong and nothing bothers us, because we have an example in David. David cried out to God in every psalm, but he never ended the psalm without reminding God of who he is. But the beautiful thing about it is that when you begin to remind God of who he is, then something takes hold of you and reminds you of who you are in God. Come on, Holy Ghost, I hear you talking right now. So I'm not saying you have to be a robot and we go around here and, you know, acting like everything is all fine, but we know that we've fallen apart on the inside, but no, give it to God. I need you to speak to the mountain. I need you to tell the storm where it can go. Whatever whirlwind has cropped up in your life, whether it's everything all flowing together, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a divorce, whether it's marriage, not marriage, whether it's your children, whether it's finances, whether it's not enough, whatever it is, whatever your storm is, only you know. I need you, my brother and sister, to speak to that thing tonight. Don't you go to bed tonight without listening, without telling God who he is, and let God deal with that. And then you go sit down somewhere and rest, just like Jesus did. When the storm came up, he was down in the bottom of the boat asleep. The storm didn't bother him because he knew who he was. Come on, somebody. He knew who he was. I'm sure Jesus felt the boat. He never said he was so sound asleep he didn't feel the boat. I'm sure he felt it rocking. And I'm sure if the waves were that high, I'm sure the whistling was in the air. I'm sure the boat was rocking from left to side, but they had to go wake Jesus up. Come on, somebody. They had to go wake Jesus up because he wasn't moved. That's how God wants us to be. Hell is going on all around you. You don't know where your next meal is coming from. You don't know where you're going to get your next piece of money to put gas in the car. You don't know how you're going to get your next meal to give your son or your daughter, your child. You don't understand, my brothers and sisters. You don't understand where this relationship is going. You don't know whether I'm going to be married or I'm going to be divorced. You don't know. Life is full of uncertainty. You don't know whether you're going to be fired tomorrow. Then when you walk in the door, they're doing layoffs. And all you're doing is praying not to be on the chopping block. You don't know, because life is full of circumstances that are unseen. But I got to believe, brothers and sisters, when you speak to the mountain. I got to believe, brothers and sisters, when you decree and declare. I got to believe, brothers and sisters, when you're praying and you're not praying amiss. I believe God hears from heaven. I believe he hears from the throne of grace. He inclines his ear down and hears his son or his daughter. Because remember, we are all distinct. Nobody is the same. We have different fingerprints and footprints. Our tongues are different when we speak to him in the Holy Ghost. So God knows who you are. God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. So I need you to get the instruments of God. Now, I forget what you call them. I forget what the technical term is, that when the weather people, I know that there's a name for it, but when the weather people go and get their instrument, what is yours? When the weather people go get their barometer to check the weather, to check the temperature, to check the humidity, to check the wind, to check the moisture, to check the atmosphere. Come on, somebody. What is your instrument in God? What is your instrument? Told you. It's prayer. I just told you it's prayer. That's your instrument. That's your weapon. Faith is another weapon. Your prayer and your faith are weapons that you can use against the seen and the unseen. Come on, somebody. Your belief in knowing that God can take care of your problem, God wants you to rest in the spirit. We know you can't lay down in the bed all day long while the storm is going on. I understand that we are in natural physical bodies, so we can't just lay in the bed, because actually when we do that, it looks like we're depressed, right? Come on, somebody. But no, when you get up, even though you want to feel depressed, when you get up and just put on the joy of the Lord, even though you don't feel like it, this is what the enemy does not expect. He expects the crying. He expects the moaning. He expects the woe is me and why me, why I got to keep going through this. Why? He expects all of that, because he says every time I do this to him and her, they do the same thing. But he does not expect when you put on the joy of the Lord. He doesn't expect when you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He doesn't expect for your faith to be at an all-time high when it, in the natural, it looks like everything is going south. He doesn't expect that. These are the things. This is why God says we need to do. These are the things that confuse the enemy, which causes him to confound those that think they're wise. He uses the confusing things to confound the wise. This is what he does. So we're studied day in and day out by the enemy, yes? We're studied day in and day out by God, too. So it's not up to you to determine who's caused this. Just pass the test. The devil is asking me, well, how do you know it's not a God thing? And I just heard the Holy Ghost say it doesn't matter who sent it. Whether it's God or whether it's the enemy, it doesn't matter who sent it. But what is your response to it? Come on, somebody. What is your response to it? Both of them require faith. If Jesus sent it, if God sent it, your faith is required. If the enemy sent it, your faith is still required. It doesn't change. So we don't need to be worried about who sent it and who caused it. One thing is required. Faith. Faith. And you're decreeing and declaring. Because some of you are going through some things right now. All of us are. In different aspects of our lives. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. But when he told me tonight to talk about I told the storm. And when he told me to tell you about how Jesus was in that boat, we know he was in the boat, but you also know that he was with the disciples. As a matter of fact, he suggested it. God told you to start that business. God told you to leave the job. I ain't saying you. I say God told you to leave. Whatever the situation is that you've got to operate in supernatural faith, rest in the Holy Ghost. Rest in the Holy Ghost. You being knocked up all side the head, the left and the right, the front and the back, just like the winds of the boat. But peace, be still. Peace, be still in your life. Because God is getting the glory through you. Just persevere, my brothers and my sisters. Persevere, march on, and press toward the mark of the high calling, because God is with you. Come on, somebody. God is with you. And I decree and declare to everyone listening at the sound of my voice, you are more than a conqueror. God didn't say just a conqueror. He said more than a conqueror. Speak to your mountain and watch what God is going to do. Add your faith to it, and I decree and declare your life will change in 24 hours. I speak that over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Father, we just bless your name because it's in you that we live and move and have our being. And Lord, we just bless you tonight for your love. We thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we bless God.